You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
This is the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast, part of the Cincy Jungle Podcast Network, and we've got a doozy of a show tonight. I'm Anthony Cazenza, joined by John Chern. You know, John, do you know why it's a big show?
It's a big show for a lot of reasons, but why don't you tell me, Anthony?
Well, I mean, of course, everybody's going to be tuning in because we're unveiling our first mock draft for the Bengals tonight. That's got to be the big reason why, right? Not at all. It's because the one and only Mr. Orlando Brown Jr. is going to be joining us here. We're going to pop him on here in just a little bit. We're going to do something a little different for folks, though. He's been doing a lot of different charitable endeavors with his previous teams and whatnot. So what we're going to do, he's kind of trying to identify as he gets his bearings with being in the city of Cincinnati as a new free agent acquisition. He's going to be kind of doing a lot of different things to reach out to charitable organizations and whatnot. So if you are so inclined and you want to leave us a super chat, or if you want to hit us up on Venmo, we left those in the live chats for you. Send over a little something. We'll hang on to it once he and his representation identifies something that they are passionate about within the city of Cincinnati. We are going to toss over that donation, add a little funds on our behalf as well. But enough from me. Let's bring on the big guy. The man, the myth, the legend, Orlando Brown Jr., Bengals' newest offensive lineman, arguably the biggest acquisition they have made, both figuratively and literally. Orlando, how are you, my man? Thanks for making time to be on the show. Up. Can you hear him, John?
I cannot hear him, no, unfortunately.
Let's check the mic here. We had you here earlier. Let's see if we can. Can't hear him. Uh-oh. Let's see.
This is not the silent count.
No, this is not the. He's here. He's going to come back in. He's here. All right. Well, we'll get him back in here in just a second. But yeah, excited to have him here. Well, gosh, we heard him right when we were getting started with everything there. I don't know what happened there, but we'll get him back on in just a second here. Let's see if we got him back on.
There we go.
All right. Now we got him. Yes. Yes.
Okay, cool. I can hear you guys too.
Yes. Good to have you.
All right.
Welcome. Yes. Well, take two. Welcome. Good to see you. And good to
hey, but I'm happy. I appreciate you guys for having me on. Thank you.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, we're doing well because you are here, but you got to be doing really, really well based on everything that's happened to you here. I mean, how stoked are you to be here with the Cincinnati Bengals first and foremost? And I guess, you know, we'll respect the process that is the contract negotiation and leave some of that to the two parties there. But I mean, how surprised were you that the Bengals were kind of in the fray there late, yeah, you know, kind of as a couple of days went on and, you know, they may have not been on the forefront of your mind, I guess, in this process, right?
Yeah, no, man. I mean, it was super interesting. You know what I mean? Obviously, how everything kind of unfolded. Man, I mean, I couldn't be more fortunate, though, and more blessed to be able to fall into a situation like this in free agency. I mean, it's crazy. You know, obviously, I've been on the other side of things for some time, so I've seen it grow, you know what I mean, from afar. And I've seen it, you know what I mean, coming in the league at 2018 to now, you know, how far that franchise has came, you know, since then. So, man, I mean, it, you know, obviously when opportunity struck, it was clear that this was a place I really wanted to be.
So, yeah, I mean, this has been, I believe, your longest season of your career with a 17-game schedule and then going all the way to the Super Bowl, of course, yeah. You know.
Definitely.
Winning the Super Bowl for sure. So how has this offseason been? Like, obviously, ending in the middle of February, then entering free agency for the first time. Has this first month just been kind of chaotic in ways that you didn't expect?
Oh, man, it's been crazy. It's been crazy. I mean, just like from – I mean, it seemed like the longest, shortest season ever. With all the games leading into free agency, obviously the Super Bowl is the last game during the season. So I'm playing all the way through February. I mean, it was crazy, man. Just the timeline of how everything kind of played out. I mean, I haven't really necessarily had the break that I'm used to, but I'm very happy about that, believe it or not.
Talking with Orlando Brown Jr., the newest and biggest acquisition by the Cincinnati Bengals this spring and will quite possibly ever on the open free agent market. So stoked to be having him on the program and chatting with us. I got to ask you, because obviously now there's a lot of rivalries within the AFC North. You're very familiar with one of those as it is, being a former Baltimore. But, and I mean, let me tell you, this Chiefs-Bengals thing just hit like new levels the last 2 years because both teams have been so freaking good, right? So I got to ask you, being in that Chiefs locker room, particularly this last year with a lot of salt coming from both sides, I mean, take us a little bit behind the curtain there a little bit. I mean, as the year wore on, you got the Burrowhead stuff. You know, the Bengals had those 3 wins in a row. I mean, was that just like, was that starting to get like – interdivision rival type of rivalry?
Definitely, man. I would like to say I somewhat joined the dark side, you could say, coming from like that, looking from that perspective. But I feel like, man, these games between Cincinnati and Kansas City have been big for the last 2 years just because of kind of what's at stake, you know, for obviously playoff contention spots, AFC, you know, championship. It's, you know, the narrative between Burrow and Mahomes. You know, it's like, it's kind of, you know, it's a lot that kind of goes on into it. And, you know, it's a game that's kind of been created, I feel like, mostly based off of playoff contention and who's going to make it to the Super Bowl, obviously being in the AFC championship against each other the last few years. But, I mean, man, Coach Reed does a really good job of not making any game bigger than what it is, and he never once, you know, took it there. But it's kind of understood as a player, when you're lining up to play against the Cincinnati Bengals, you know it's going to be a dog fight, you know it's going to be a close game. And I mean, man, it's every time that I've played the Bengals as a Chief, it felt like a playoff like atmosphere.
So to take me through these past 2 years regarding like these matchups with the Bengals, because you play them a handful of times, obviously, with the Ravens, and then you go in to 2021, you play them twice, and obviously you probably have some notes that you give to your teammates about, okay, this is what I saw these past couple of years. How did those notes and just your thoughts on the Bengals defense kind of evolve in the three or four meetings that you played against them in the past 2 years?
Yeah, I mean, their scheme is crazy, man. Just, you know, the different variety of coverages that they'll throw at you. I mean, the type of guys that, you know, you're having to set against, linebacker core is really good. Everybody played, seems like a really key role in their execution. And I mean, not often do you necessarily go against a defense where it's like, man, it's not many weaknesses, you know, in this defense, if any at all. And, man, to me, that's something that really stuck out because of the way that they ran their coverages, what they showed, what they didn't bring. You know, it was somewhat simple, their approach, but man, it was so effective. And, those first few battles, I think back to, last year, I missed, that was the only game I missed in my career, but, I missed that Cincinnati game. Obviously I was still suited up for it, but, that was a hard fought game, in the trenches, man, both sides of the ball. Kind of came down to short yardage and some of those things, some of those big plays Joe was able to make in the pass game, as well as the AFC Championship, kind of similar. You know, we get off to a hot start. They come down rolling. They stop us on a two-point conversion. They come out rolling the second half. And, I mean, man, it just was a competitive dogfight all the way through. And it's a team that, you know, when you're lining up against them, you can feel that this guy across from you is battle tested. You know what I mean? I can tell that, you know, this guy's playing with a chip on his shoulder, that, you know, not only is this game important, but the respect. And man, I feel like that's something that the Bengals like present, you know, that type of aura.
Talking with Orlando Brown Jr., newest Bengals offensive lineman, left tackle for the team. And you talked a little bit of scheme about the Bengals defense there, Orlando. On the flip side there, what about this Bengals blocking scheme? Frank Pollock, what he brings as an offensive line coach, he always has been harping these last couple of years about wanting glass eaters. Obviously, you are one of his dudes, you know, that he wants up there and protecting Joe Burrow. So, I mean, what's got you psyched so far right now as you go into the Bengals and the system that they run on offense?
Yeah, man, just, you know, it's a different system somewhat, but I think it really gives me the best opportunity to display my true ability. In pass pro, the opportunity to block one-on-one for a guy like Joe, who, you know what I mean, who's so talented, who's special, you know, that in itself with the great receivers around, the way the system kind of works hand in hand. I look forward to being able to do that. And then in the run game is going to really give me the opportunity to, you know, displace people with the footwork that's required from Coach Pollock and, you know, the system, certain plays and gap schemes that we'll run will allow me to, you know, come off the ball more often than not. So I feel like it's a system that really suits my style of play and my body the most.
So, Orlando, you've been here for about a week, but surprisingly, you're not the newest Bengals offensive lineman now. In that day after you agreed to terms, your former teammate, Cody Ford, was in town taking a visit, and then all of a sudden he signed with the Bengals. Did you know about him taking a visit, and if he did you reach out to him about maybe joining the team?
Yeah, man. So it's crazy. You know, we were texting and talking. That's one of my best friends. We were talking in February, and he was like, man, you know, it'd be crazy to go to Cincinnati. And, you know, I remember telling him, like, man, you know, obviously at the time, I don't know how things are going to play up. I was like, yeah, bro, that'd be insane. And, man, I mean, sure enough, it kind of worked out that way with, you know, him agreeing to terms the following day. But he had texted me once I, you know, my deal had went through, like, hey, I'm going to Cincinnati tomorrow. And, man, you know, obviously he loved it. Coaches loved him. Front office loved him. And everything kind of worked out.
Well, Orlando, and I'm going to zoom in on you here. You know, you've got a picture of your father behind you there. Obviously, he was a beast in his own right. Great player. One of the things, you know, in getting to know you and speaking kind of with your representation and whatnot, that, you know, there's this kind of story that you made a promise to your dad that, you know, not only would you be in the NFL, play offensive lineman, be a star that you already are, but that specific role of being a left tackle. Talk about that and just kind of, you know, a lot of people that play left tackle, it's just because, you know, they like the notoriety of playing left tackle, but you've got a lot of extra motivation behind playing that specific position and a lot of drive behind that.
No doubt. You know, man, I have a 2-year-old son now, and, you know, I'm always talking to, you know, my woman, and we're always talking back and forth and, you know, about, you know, making sure that he doesn't make the same mistakes we did, or he, you know, he's better than us. And, you know, my dad came in this league as a rookie minicamp invitee and, you know, was able to scratch and claw his way to a practice squad and scratch and claw his way to a starting job as a right tackle for 13 years. And, you know, something he always preached to me, which he didn't even want to allow me to play football. He was really big on, you know, hey, you don't have to play this just because I did it. You know, if you play football, it's because you want to play football. And, you know, that was something he always harped on me, was being, if I were to play it, be better than I am, but also in other areas of life. And so growing up, man, I would, you know, I was really drawn to the sport early on, and he didn't allow me to play till I was in sixth or seventh grade. But, man, something he would always tell me, because he knew I was fascinated with it, was watch the left tackle. And so I grew up watching Jonathan Ogden, Anthony Munoz film, Tony Baselli film, Orlando Pace, Flozell Adams, all of these names I can name off. But I grew up watching that in my household, and I would watch those things with my dad. And so one of the promises that, you know, he one of the things he asked me when I started playing, when I called and, you know, I'm 13 years old on the phone crying, talking to him, telling him that I want to play ball. One of the first things he says is, well, hey, if this is something you're going to do, you know, you got to play a minimum of 10 years in the NFL and you got to have a Hall of Fame career. And, you know, at the time, you know, as a kid, tears in his eyes, I'm like, yeah, of course, 13 years old, of course, not understanding how hard it was. My first year of ball, man, I barely even touched the field. But, you know, it was kind of those type of conversations and my upbringing and things that he said that really forced me or drew me to the position. And, man, I mean, I've played it my whole entire life. You know, he wouldn't allow me to play anything else except for defensive tackle on the offensive line. So I've been at left tackle my whole entire life. You know, I might have took a few snaps there in high school, but, man, it was something weird with unbalanced stuff. But, man, I mean, I and then obviously going to Oklahoma, it was strictly a left tackle there. Coming into Baltimore, you know, brought me in, drafted me as the right tackle, and it was a learning curve there for me. It was super difficult, but man, I made it work out. Made a Pro Bowl there. We end up having a heck of a season. Lamar had a heck of a season, and then the following year, man, I've started 11 games, I think 10 or 12 games at left tackle. So, and I've been there since they moved me over, but. Yeah, man, I mean, it's just long story short, I guess, but it's just really, really the passion that that was drawn to me from early on from my father, man, just studying some of the greats. And I know that athletically I've got my flaws, and as a player I've got my flaws, but personally on every single level I don't think it's been able to affect my success.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
So you touched on it very briefly, and I feel like we need to expand on it a little bit more because people like me and Anthony, we don't understand the difficulty that comes from going from left tackle to right tackle. Is there like a real world analogy that you can kind of equate to that transition and the difficulty?
Yeah, of course. Man, it's so many different analogies. And, you know, you hear guys talk about throwing a baseball with the opposite hand. I don't know if anybody's ever really been in a real fight, but asking someone to fight in an opposite stance is like, I mean, it's a super uncomfortable feeling, from figuring out the timing of your punch, being able to step back on a jab, like whatever it may be, your nervous system, the way you're wired, it's different. And moving from left to right is a lot easier, in my opinion, than moving from right to left. But as a right, moving from the left to the right side, I'm having to change up, obviously, my initial stance. You know, there's certain things I do as a right tackle that I don't do as a left because those muscles are a lot more underdeveloped. As a right tackle, I have to have my inside foot pointed more at the defender. As a left tackle, I can have my inside foot pointing inside towards the football, just because of like comfortability. As a left tackle, I'm more stronger. I'm more better in pass pro. But as a right tackle, you know, I had to kind of develop the timing and develop a different type of game, if that makes sense. So I would just compare it to boxing, really, someone asking you to fight in a different stance.
That's interesting because we've heard, from people we respect, but, you know, goofballs like us, more or less, that don't have the talent you have. And we say, you know, it's talking about like wiping with a different hand and all kinds of stuff. Yeah. I'm going, I don't know if I like that analogy or not, but I mean, whatever. I guess if that's how people want to do it, I guess that'll work. Time with Orlando Brown Jr. Great to have him on the program, making some time for us. And I know you gotta get to some grub here in a little bit, but we'll get you out of here in just a second. But we appreciate the time, man. My co-host talked about it a little bit. You know, obviously with Cody Ford and stuff. I mean, is there anything to? I mean, you've got Mixon who played at Oklahoma. You had P. Ryan on the team. You know, you guys were all teammates and kind of very familiar with each other. Was there anything to, aside from obviously the role and contract and everything the Bengals were offering how they've been the last couple of years? Yeah. But was there anything to kind of that the old college days and or system and or familiarity with the running backs and that sort of thing going into also the process of signing to Cincinnati?
Yeah, man, to be honest with you, I know it's kind of here in Cincinnati, it's graduated a lot, but somebody I looked up to my whole entire career who I studied and tried to implement my game after was Andrew Whitworth. And he had a lot of success in that system and the Rams with Coach McVay. And obviously, I understand that Coach Taylor comes from that. So, and it's graduated obviously to a different level in Cincinnati. They've got a different style of play, but they asked the left tackle to do similar things. And to me, throughout the process, understanding that kind of where Cincinnati was and the way that they call plays and their scheme and all those things, I felt like as a left tackle, it gives me the best opportunity to like truly flourish. And that was something that, throughout the process, obviously not a lot of teams had to offer.
Orlando, if you talk to any Bengals fan, they will pretty soon or pretty quickly bring up the amount of times that Joe Burrow has been sacked. And your quote, zero sacks, put it on a bleeping t-shirt. Caught a lot of buzz after the Super Bowl, after that phenomenal Super Bowl performance. What where that kind of come from, and what kind of inspired you to make a t-shirt out of it, I guess?
Yeah, that's so funny. That's so funny you say that. Man, I just obviously winning the Super Bowl is one of the craziest, most delightful experiences I've had to date outside of my son being born. But man, I mean, I was just so in the moment. I remember all week hearing 1985 Bears pass rush. They're similar to these Eagles fronts. Obviously, we know statistically what that defensive line was able to do. So it was, man, it was just so much. It was so much hype around the game in the trenches. And to be able to win that game, to not give up a single sack, it was just, I don't know. It was just, man, the t-shirt part of it just kind of came because I had a t-shirt on that says Super Bowl champs. I don't know. It was just like, it just felt right in the moment.
Hey, put it on a shirt. I love it. I love it. Exactly. Maybe we'll make another one this year as undoubtedly with you in the fold, the Bengals will go far again here. I mean, big question here. Number one, have you been talking with your fellow offensive linemen with the Bengals? Obviously, you've had kind of a quick interaction or a lunch with Joe Burrow. And of course, the real question, I'm in Southern California, so I don't have the chilly grasp that the Cincinnatians do. But here you go. Gold Star Skyline. I don't know if we're putting you on the spot there, but I don't know. Go ahead.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I hadn't had any chili yet, so Yeah, I don't. Okay. I can't give you a raw opinion yet.
All right.
Gold Star is the official Bengals chili, so that's the smart answer here. But the better chili is Skyline. But that's off the record between you and me.
Okay, I don't start beef.
And the pun.
But on the subject of beef, there was a funny story that kind of came up in your opening press conference with the Bengals about how Chad Johnson kind of caught your dad off by surprise before a game in Paul Brown Stadium. If Chad Johnson surprises you behind your back and jumps on you, are you also going to chase him down and try to kill him, or are you going to maybe warm him, embrace him a little bit?
I'm a different guy, man. I'm a lot more chill. It's crazy because I was told that story from TJ Houshmandzadeh when I was in I was training coming out of college. I was training in Los Angeles, California, in OC and Orange County, and TJ just happened to be working with the receivers. Yeah, man, and he told because my dad told me the story before when I was younger, you know, obviously, but man, my dad was one of those funny people that spiced up a lot of stories. So, and you know, I believed it, but I didn't necessarily know how much truth was behind it. And hearing it from TJ's mouth, man, I was like, oh, wow. And then obviously I had the opportunity to talk to Chad about it at my my first Pro Bowl in 2020. So, yeah, man, I mean, it was crazy. But no, I wouldn't chase him around.
All right. Well, hey, man, before we get you out of here, you have done a lot. Yep. Of charitable stuff. I think I had read about $50,000 or so given in one solo endeavor to diabetes research to, I believe, a Kansas City hospital, if I'm not mistaken. So, just tell us a little bit about, you know, your passion for that. Obviously, some of that is attached to your father and his memory there. But again, if we can, you know, rally some funds and get something to something you may be passionate about and identify down the road, we'd love to do it.
Yeah, man. So I've done a ton of work with Children's Mercy Hospital out here in Kansas City. For me, I've also done work with TrialNet, which is basically the research of diabetes. It allows you to kind of get ahead on the antibodies, knowing what's in your body, knowing whether you're capable of becoming a type 1 diabetic, all of those different things. But for me, man, you know, obviously, the cause and effect of diabetes hits home for so many different reasons. You know, one being my dad passed of ketoacidosis, which is a diabetic coma. He didn't know that he had diabetes. It was just, you know, a mishap in one of those situations where his sugar level rose high and he went into a diabetic coma. And then second being my brother's been a type 1 diabetic since he was in fifth grade. So, and then my best friend Mark Andrews is a type 1 diabetic as well, man. So it's just a cause that really hits home. And you know, I've been fortunate to be around a ton of people that manage their disease really well. And man, I think it's important that a lot more people educate themselves. And if I can help the next kid that's, you know, looking to be the Mark Andrews or, you know, coming up here in the world, if I can help them out, that means the world to me.
Well, man, we already got one donation in the chat from Sox, who definitely wants to help out. And if there's anything the Bengals fans are great at, they're great at identifying great causes and helping out. So you will have no issues with that here, my man.
That's awesome. So I love that.
Yeah, hit us up when you know. And a big thanks to you for making the time. And a big thanks to your agent, Michael Portner, as well. That dude has been really, really responsive, really awesome, and helping us out. And I appreciate you both setting this up, hanging out with us for a while. I know we are incredibly psyched that you are a Cincinnati Bengal. Looks like you're pretty excited about it too, but man, I can't thank you enough for being on the show. Seriously, appreciate it.
Yeah, man, thank you guys so much for having me on, man. I can't wait to get involved in the community. Hopefully we can do some more work together.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Yep. All right, thanks, Orlando. Take care, man, and stay healthy. Have a great year. Hopefully we'll get you back on soon.
Will do. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate y'all, man. Hoo day.
All right.
Thanks, Orlando.
Enjoy your dinner, buddy.
Support for this show comes from Pendo. Pendo improves the apps your customers and employees rely on. Whether you're building applications for customers or managing applications for employees, Pendo can help deliver better experiences for your users so they can get more value from your software. Pendo also provides AI-powered product analytics that fuel in-app guides to deliver personalized guidance to customers directly inside your app. Visit pendo.io/podcast to learn more about how your team can use Pendo to start building better digital experiences. There, you can also check out Pendo's lineup of free certification courses, 12 hours of in-depth training for your product management teams on topics from AI to product analytics to product-led growth. That's pendo.io/podcast to learn more.